was super short compared to everybody else. Okay. Tell me if I stand here, is this good? Can you hear me? Closer? I think it's better if it's here. But can you, is it good? Okay, sorry. This is my first time speaking with a mic. Or maybe not my first time, but it's been a while. I don't hear it. No. Hi, I'm Shelley Sinertia. I'm here to talk about marriage. I was here last year talking about parenting, so I'm super blessed and excited to be back. So thanks for having me. I'd love to open us in prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you for these beautiful moms and these beautiful mentor moms and these babies. Lord, I pray for a special blessing over all of them. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me to each of these women. I pray that you would open their eyes and their hearts to whatever you have for each of them individually, Lord. We know you love marriage, and we pray that you would just continue to bless and flourish their marriages and heal any marriages that need healing right now, Lord. And we thank you for this time together. Amen. So I'm first going to, everybody has a handout, by the way. I'm first going to go over just some kind of foundational things about marriage, and then I'll go over the super practical you can take home and use in your marriage. So past generations do not define your marriage. I just want to remind you that marriage is a unification between you and your husband with Jesus Christ. It is not defined by your parents' marriage, your in-laws' marriage, your, you know, past generations of grandparents that maybe you have unhappy marriages, infidelity. You don't have to be fearful of those things. You guys bring in, yes, everybody has baggage they bring into the marriage, the husband and the wife as they come together. But you too, you guys decide what you want to bring in and what you want to leave out. My husband and I both came from really unhappy families or marriages. And we decided, like, in the very beginning, we would not yell at each other and we would not do certain things. And so we decided to break ties with all of those things. And I know it can be hard, but with Jesus Christ at the center, it's absolutely possible. And this is something that you guys are creating together, just the two of you, specific to you two. And you don't have to let anybody else's marriage in your family or generations or around you define your marriage. And with that, I want to say comparison is a killer. Do not compare your marriage to someone else's. God gave me the most beautiful analogy. As you know, I love nature, so of course it has to do with nature. It would be like comparing Glacier National Park to Yellowstone National Park when you're comparing marriages. They're both beautiful and glorious in their own right, created by Jesus Christ, but they have vastly different challenges and also dangers. And you could actually never know, if you're in Glacier, never know all of the challenges of Yellowstone. You just see the beautification outside. That's like you comparing yourself to another marriage. You have no idea how hard they work to get there. You have no idea what goes on behind closed doors. It's just, it just creates a lot of problems when you compare yourself to other marriages. But I'd like to also kind of flip that. There's a good comparison when it comes to, like, iron sharpens iron, and maybe your mentor moms and their marriages, looking to them as an example. Wow, I love their communication style. I love how close they are, and bringing that into your own marriage instead of comparing, like, oh, I wish I had their marriage. I wish that it was like this. Looking in a mentor mentality, looking up and saying, gosh, what a great example, husband. Let's look at them as an example, and let's communicate like them, or let's love like them, or however they do that. So in that state, comparison, I mean, I wouldn't call that comparison, but that's okay. But comparing your marriage to another is just going to cause a lot of strife. Number one thing, Christ is your number one priority. It is Christ, Jesus, then your husband, and then your children. This is so crucial. I believe in life, if Christ comes first, everything will fall into place and go well for you. I'm not saying life's going to be easy when you follow Christ. Of course, everybody has their stuff. But when Christ comes first, your everything else is going to fall into place. So if you have Christ first, you are having the Lord as your Savior. He is fulfilling all of your needs. If Christ is not first and you put your husband before the Lord, you are going to look to your husband to be your Savior. That's completely unfair. That will fail every time. Your husband's human. He's sinful. There's no possible way any man, as good as he is, could fulfill every emotional need. So that's why Christ comes first and then your husband, right below him. And then there's also the hierarchy of Christ, your husband, and then your children. A lot of people struggle with putting their husband before their children. but I want to give you the statistic that I found out 2 weeks ago, which was super shocking to me, and I feel like it begins now where you guys are. I read that marriage doesn't usually end between the years of 3 and 7, which I thought people got divorced 3 and 7. You make it over the 7-year hump, you're good, you're golden. It's actually 20 and 25 years of being married is when marriages start to dissipate. What has happened, and I believe it starts now, is that the wife puts the children first before the husband. She is giving them basically her all and her everything, and her husband gets her leftovers. And let's be honest, in this stage, when your kids are little, there's not a lot of leftover. So he's getting nothing. So then he feels like, oh my gosh, I am not needed. I am getting leftovers. Why am I doing this? I'm going to marry my work. So then she's married to the children. He's married to his work. And for the 20 years, you know, however long, the kids are kind of the glue that keep them together. The work keeps him busy. But guess what? We retire. Our kids grow up and they move out. And then when the glue's gone, the kids are gone, you look at your spouse and you're thinking, oh my gosh, we did this. We both grew, but we both grew in totally different directions. I don't know this guy. And he's going to look at you, I don't know this woman. So I just want to remind you, especially this is the season where I see it begin, and I have friends that are in this situation and they're really struggling. You have to put your husband first. And like I said, Christ first, husband and kids, and it will all fall into place. The Lord will make space. The Lord will make time if you honor him in this. What if my spouse is not a Christian? Or what if he's not leading spiritually? I'm going to speak to those who maybe their husbands aren't Christian. I put a reference here to a verse that I believe is comforting in this. I have a friend, her husband's not a Christian, and I know it's a struggle. And I pray for her often. We pray for her spouse. But she felt like she really had to witness to him, like kind of Bible thump him and nag him into that. But this is not what the Bible calls us to do as wives. We are to, again, put Christ first before our spouse. And if you put Christ first, your whole life will change, right? The Lord's going to transform you. So by your actions and by this transformation, that is your witness to your spouse. So you don't need to be harassing him to go to church, harassing him to follow Christ, or, you know, trying to pound all this stuff down his throat. That's just going to cause problems for you. You just need to honor the Lord in this, and you need to trust the Lord. And I encourage you to pray, Lord, bring other people into his life, bring witnesses, have people invite him to church, and you just obey the Lord and trust. And I also want to encourage you, my friend, her children actually witness to her husband all the time. She brings her children to church, and just that sweet, like, just unrestricted love for Jesus, they get to share with their dad. And of course their dad's listening because it's his kids. And, the Lord is using the kids to speak to her husband. It's kind of amazing to watch as she sits back and just trusts and honors the Lord in this. So what if my husband is not leading spiritually? This is also a tricky one. I see a few things that happen here in this situation. One, we see a role. We need a leadership spiritually in our home, and our husbands have not stepped into that. So we're thinking, okay, super mom, I'm going to step into that role. Well, as you step into that role, there's no way for him to fill that role. You have taken his place. So I encourage you to step down out of that role and ask the Lord for a heart of obedience and also a heart of leadership within your husband. And he may not step right into that role right away, but the Lord will use that. And if there's a gap and your husband is honoring the Lord's going to push him to lead your family in that. And I want to explain, so we all had to mature into our positions right now. So we had to mature into wife and husband, right? We had to grow and learn and be in our positions, grow into mother and father, right? He needs to grow into that leadership role. But if you're in the place of him, there's no room for him to like figure it out. There's no room for him to mature into that role of leadership in your home. So you need to step back and let him lead. And even if it's haphazard and it feels unsafe, you need to trust the Lord in this, because this is the Lord's design for marriage. Christ, husband, wife. The other thing is that maybe your expectations of what a spiritual leader looks like might not be how your husband does it. So I want you to think about what you're wanting in a spiritual leader and how your husband's doing it. Is he leading and you just don't like the way that he's leading because it's not you? I want to remind you that the Lord created us so differently. Men and women, even just all of us here are so different. The way that you would lead is different how I would lead. And so your husband may be leading differently than you want, but I encourage you to ask the Lord, please open my eyes and see the spots where he is leading. And maybe he is leading and it's just not what you were thinking. And then ask for the Lord to like change your heart so that you can be grateful for him leading in his way. I mean, the Lord picked you guys to be together, and the Lord has gifts within him to be a leader and lead your family. So again, the trusting and stepping back, and then also looking at your husband and seeing, okay, he actually is leading by doing these things. And the Lord will bless you and open your eyes in all of this. Roles in marriage, love and respect. That's kind of, I know we all talk about this, the verses there. What I have heard, though, is that the Lord writes or has this verse because it is easier for husbands to respect and easier for wives to love. So that's why he calls us to the opposite. It's easier for us to love. That's our natural inclination. So he calls us to respect our husbands, and I will get more into that later. And I didn't put on here, but I just want to encourage you, the verse that we are our husband's helpmates. You are his trusted advisor. You are there to lift him up, to help him. You guys are a team in unity. It's not like a negative, as the world says it, subservient helpmate. It is like, I equate it to like a CEO of a business and then the right-hand man. You guys are working together. Those are just some of the foundational things I wanted to say first before we get into the practical. Number one, it's on the backside, get naked. Nobody likes to talk about this, but you guys, sex is so crucial in marriage. Before you tune me out, just hear me out. Sex is God's physical representation of two becoming one. It is a gift for the marriage bed. It is a source of emotional unification. Again, it is the physical representation of the unity that Christ gifts married couples. So everybody's probably like, oh, you know, I'm too tired. I'm, you know, all the things. There's all the excuses. So I really wanted to get some practical things that might help you in this season of parenthood. Even in my season, I've got kids awake at 6 a.m. and I've got kids awake at midnight. So there's literally no time. But as I give you the practical, I want to remind you that sex is literally like oxygen to our husband. I know that sounds weird. It is not just about physical. It is their emotional connection with us too. And my husband and I did this Bible study. It was called Love and Respect. And the person who was teaching it equated it to this. It might seem very traumatic a little bit, but you'll get the gist. So there's a blue hose that goes to the husband, and he's got his blue oxygen mask, and a pink hose that goes to the wife, and she has her oxygen mask. When you deprive your husband of sex, you're stepping on his blue hose, so he's not getting oxygen. When he deprives you of emotional intimacy, he's stepping on your pink hose, and you're not getting oxygen. He did equate it to you saying no to sex is like your husband telling you to shut up when you're trying to share emotional, intimate things with him. So it is very dramatic, I know, but just take it. I've always like thought about it. Not that I fully agree with all of it, but anyways, take it or leave it. It's just an interesting analogy that I think is true, probably is more true than we know. Okay, so some practical. So you got to get creative. My husband and I used to set alarms for 2 a.m. to have sex. I know that sounds really weird and awful. I'm looking at Jenny because she knows my family. Like, there's just always somebody awake. You have to get creative. It is literally so important. Think of like, anyways, okay. So set alarms for 2 a.m. We have lunch dates where, yeah, during the day, I know everyone's like, day sex is terrible. I'm sorry, but if this is the connection that your husband needs, you just got to sacrifice it. It is not about what you look like. I have been giant pregnant. I have been leaking from my boobs. I know you can all relate. Crazy hair. He doesn't care. It's not really a physical thing. It is a gift. If you think about it, God created sex. It is the physical unity of a husband and wife. It is so crucial. When you think of it that way and it's an emotional connection, you won't be so concerned about what I look like or the physical aspect of it. I'm not feeling sexy or whatever it is. Okay, 2 a.m. I know that's crazy, but gotta happen sometimes. There's also before the kids wake up, when the kids are taking a nap. I know day sex again. People don't want to do that, but you just really need to fit it in there. There's a few other things too. Consider in your head, and you can talk about this with your husband or with the Lord. There should be a set number of times that it happens. Everybody's different. Do not compare this to your friends. Do not compare it to other people. I have a friend who literally never says no to her husband. I bless his soul, bless her soul. I am not that person. So I know when it's gone too long. My husband feels disconnected from me, and I feel disconnected from him. So I encourage you in your, again, with the Lord or with your husband, figure out a number where it is gone too long, and then make an effort for that. My husband will tell me it's been too long, and I'm like, I agree. Okay, we'll make it happen. If you're goal-minded, set a goal in your head. Okay, I want to do it this often. And then meet that goal. Whatever it is, just realize how important it is. It is really crucial to your marriage. It is God's design for marriage, and it is an integral part of marriage. Healthy marriages have sex regularly. It is so important. Emotional intimacy, phone-free alone time. So our side of this, the emotional intimacy. It is so important. Again, like I said, it is so easy to turn your husband into a stranger at this season. You're so tired. You're so wiped. You have nothing to give. I encourage you to set aside at least 1 hour a week or more, whatever you've got, to spend alone with your husband, no children, no phones, and just be with him. So we've done this a few ways. We've done date nights where we hired a babysitter. If that's not practical, maybe you have family that would do date nights. My mom did date nights for us once a week, and she'd watch the boys from 4 to 6. It was not convenient. 4 p.m. for a working husband is not convenient, but my husband sacrificed, got off work early, and made it happen. That was a season. We had a season where we didn't have a sitter, so we put all of our kids to bed and hired the neighbor girl just to be a warm body in case of emergencies, and we didn't go far. Then there were seasons where we couldn't leave, so we would do what we call couch dates. Phones completely away, no distractions, kids are in bed. Do what you used to do when you were dating. What do you like to do with your spouse? Do you like to cook together? Even watching a movie with popcorn and sitting next to each other, there's some connection there. I know you're not talking, but maybe that's all you've got. The whole point is to set aside time with just the two of you together where you're connecting. And I know you may be in a season where I went through this. I'm with babies all day long. I don't know what's happening in the world. I don't know anything but what kind of diapers my boys are using and what happened at the park today. I've got nothing. In those instances, my husband and I would sit and we would reminisce over all the fun date experiences, the silly things, the fun things, the good memories we had together. And we just sit and talk about that, and it creates just a deeper connection. There's actually scientific evidence that nostalgia, or bringing up past memories, solidifies the memory. It creates closeness. It creates a safety. And if that's all you've got, that's all you've got. And if you really have nothing else, just sit and hold hands. I mean, just be intentional. That's all I'm saying, is be intentional, because it is so easy to, again, create a stranger in your home, and you don't want that. Number three, my husband actually added this in. This was not part of my thing. Do not keep accounts of wrong. Forgive and move on. I don't know why, but this reminded me. I'm just going to go back really quick to number one, to get naked. If you, sorry, it is very important. If you have hurts that cause you, or blockages from causing you to have sexual intimacy with your husband, you need to take that up with the Lord. Like I said, sex is so important to the Lord. He created it. It is a gift to marriage, and he wants this for your marriage. So I encourage you to go with the Lord and talk to the Lord about this. Like, here's my roadblocks, Lord, help me. Can you break down these walls so that you can enjoy that piece of marriage, that gift from the Lord? Okay, so back to don't keep accounts of wrong, forgive and move on. It is so easy for the tiny little things to build up. There could be big things, but also tiny things. Let's say, oh, your husband's not helping you with this, or he's leaving the socks out, all the things. And those things just build up, and then one day you're exploding, and you have no idea why. So I think it's really important to whatever is bothering you, approach it with your husband, and then you need to forgive and move on. I know there's bigger things there, but the Lord can heal any wound. The Lord forgives, and he can show us how to forgive too, if it's something bigger. Stop comparing and nagging. Heart change and conviction belong to the Lord. This first verse really got me. It said a nagging, quarrelsome wife is like a leaky roof in a rainstorm. And I was writing this when it was raining outside, and I thought, okay, what is a leaky roof do? One, a leaky roof is, one, annoying. It's loud. It's annoying. It creates worry. It creates fear. You don't know what kind of damage it's doing. You're always wondering, is it going to be a deluge of water? Is it going to be small? So just think about your words as the comparing and nagging with your husband. And that, again, comparing marriages, I'm going to tie that into here, comparing your husband. Your words are like, I mean, the Bible says our words can build or destroy. What you say to your husband, you are his number one cheerleader. You can completely build him up in his self-confidence, or you can completely rip him apart. And when you're comparing him to someone else, that is just really detrimental. Could you imagine if he looked at you and said, oh, I wish you were like my husband's wife? That would break your heart. I wish you did these things. So instead, just encouraging your husband, seeing the spots where he's doing it well and praising him for that. And this ties into respecting your husband. So you may be like, okay, Lord, what do I need to, how do I respect my husband? What is he doing well? Asking the Lord to show you all of the pieces that he is, where he's showing up, where you can respect your husband. So as you respect your husband, praising him for the shoulds, and I say the shoulds, you should be coming home at night. Not all husbands do. You should be working and supporting our home. Not all husbands do. Praising him for the shoulds. As you continue to praise your husband, he is going to, you know, feel more confident. He is going to want to step into that role of a man that you can and will respect. So I encourage you to keep encouraging him in the good things that he's doing, so he can rise up and continue to lead your family and be a respectable man. I wanted to put it into our perspective. You know, you're sitting at home and you've got crazy hair. I always say crazy hair because when I was in your stage, man, my hair was nuts. I just looked terrible. Someone's barfed on you all day. Like, I get it. I mean, I was there. I had 4 boys in 5 years. So looking terrible, your house is a mess. Your husband comes home and he's like, oh, beautiful wife, you did so good today. Thank you for making this a place I want to come home to. Thank you for caring for our boys so well. You do this so well. I see how you love them. Could you imagine what that would do for your soul? I mean, I would be like, oh my gosh, like, he thinks I'm beautiful. Okay, I want to look beautiful because he thinks I'm beautiful. I want to be this woman that he thinks I am, because I might not feel that way and I may feel like I'm failing, but here he is puffing me up with his words. And we do the same. We are our husband's trusted advisor. We are his helper. We are to lift him up and encourage him. And again, our words mean so much. So I just encourage you to, even today, like, praise him for something, even if you're frustrated, like the shoulds, like, my husband, thank you for going to work today. Thank you. He took the kids to school today. That never happens, but thank you because I got to be here. Like, what a blessing. So all of the things, even if you think they're shoulds, but praising him for those things. Communicate your needs, set your husband up for success. I feel like this is such a big one. I watch friends. I don't want to say trap their husband, but let's say it's your anniversary and it was on the calendar and my friend's like, I want to see if he remembers, and kind of like setting him up, and then she blew up because he forgot. Instead, let's communicate our needs to our spouse and say, you know, hey, I warn my husband because I know he's busy. Hey, our anniversary is in 2 weeks, or my birthday is coming up. And if I want something, let's say I want a bracelet for my birthday. Like, hey, I really would like you to buy me this bracelet for my birthday. I'm setting him up for success, and I'm giving him all the tools that he needs to be successful and to bless me. And my friends, I've talked to my friends about this, and they're like, it's not romantic. He's not doing it spontaneously. And I said, absolutely, it is romantic. I am telling my husband my need, and he is loving me and meeting my need in the very specific way that I asked for. No, it's not spontaneous. No, it's not, you know, maybe what you want, but you are allowing him to love and serve you, and you're being very specific. he can't pick up on all your clues. I'm sure there's a lot of craziness in your home with little kids. Even if there's not, we've got teenagers, and my husband's not going to pick up on a clue. Hey, it'd be nice to get some flowers, you know, or, you know, whatever the clues are. I will tell my husband, like, I need time with you, or I need this, instead of getting mad, like, you haven't spent time with me, you haven't stopped. I will give him ample time to fulfill that need. The other thing is, if you give him a need or a want, make sure that it's feasible. If you're telling him, I need a lunch date with you, but he is in the middle of a crazy work season, it's not feasible. It's not probably going to happen. And you're kind of, I wouldn't say you're setting him up for failure, but you're not giving him, you're not allowing him to be successful in that. So understanding where you're at. If you want, like I said, a bracelet, but you guys can't pay your mortgage, that's probably not feasible, right? So make sure that the need or want that you're communicating is feasible, doable, and it's within something that he can do, and in a time frame. You can't just be like, drop everything and spend time with me right now. I give my husband time, like, hey, I need your time, like, in the next week, can you just give me an hour or whatever it is? A long day is a long day. I see a lot of times, you know, the husband comes home and, you know, it's been a day. I've had the days where the dog barfed on the carpet, the kid also pooped on the carpet. I mean, all the things. We've all had all the things. And then our husband comes home and you're like, here, take the kids, I'm so done. And I know there's days like that, but I want you to recognize that a long day is a long day. So at the office, a long day can also be a really long day. And he's doing this out here, or whatever your situation is, and then you have a long day here. And there are days when you can say, hey, I need a moment. When you get home, once you're settled in, can you just give me whatever, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is. But trying to one up, like, he comes home and you're like, take the kids. And he's like, I had a long day. And you're like, no, my day was longer. Did you get pooped on? Did you have to clean up puke? Like, trying to one up your spouse it creates an unhealthy competition, if you would even call it that. So just recognizing a long day in whatever he's doing is also a long day, you know, at home. And then you guys can come together. And when you need reprieve, you can get your reprieve, but just not saying like, oh, my day was harder, I get a break before you. You guys can have your break together. Avoiding emotional infidelity, no opposite sex friends. This is so big. I had a lot of guy friends when I met my husband, and he had a few girlfriends. And our marriage counselor said, absolutely, once you guys are like engaged, you are not to be alone with the opposite sex by yourself. Like, it doesn't look well. I don't care if it's innocent. You just don't do it. And so we were like, okay. It was actually his boss's rule for their company. So it kind of worked out for him. It was a little bit harder for me because I worked in sales. But so we're like, okay. And then we had to decide that we would no longer be friends with the person of the opposite sex. I know that seems really harsh and it's really hard, but I just want to let you know that there are seasons in every single marriage where you're going to be frustrated with your husband and you're going to think, gosh, I'm not connecting with him. I am so upset. You know, just like kind of the valleys of life, right? And then here you go. Here's this guy friend that you have and you're like, Jimmy. Jimmy emotionally accepts me. He hears me. Like, why can't my husband do that? And then this creates an emotional infidelity that's happening here. And then it just trickles and spirals down. So I really encourage you, if you have guy friends, that you either hang out with them with your husband only, and there's no phone conversations or side texts, all of that, or just kind of move away from it. Like, gosh, my spouse is more important than this friendship. There's nothing you cannot get from a woman friend that you're getting from a guy friend. I mean, in all honesty, all these beautiful women are going to hear you just as well as the guy. They may not tell you you're beautiful as much as he does, but maybe you can tell each other you're beautiful. So whatever that you're trying to get from that guy friend, your girlfriends can provide, because that man is stepping into your husband's role, whether you believe it or not. Praying for your husband. This is so important. I pray for my husband every single day. If you don't, I encourage you to attach it to something you're already doing. So what are you doing every day? You brush your teeth every day. Maybe you shower every day. Whatever it is, something that you do every single day, tie your prayer for your husband to that so that you're not missing a beat. I encourage you to pray for him to be a great leader. I encourage you to pray for favor over whatever he does for work. Lord, give him favor, protection. I always pray, make my husband invisible to his enemies. That's one of my favorite prayers. I pray over my husband. Just pray for him. My friend and I did this really cool thing for 30 days. We prayed for our own husbands and then prayed for each other's husbands. And the Lord did some really crazy things. He gave me some prayers that I shared with her. I was like, okay, I felt like I was supposed to pray for her husband's anger. And she's like, oh my gosh, I've been praying for this for years. And her husband woke up like crying. And it was just, the Lord did all these crazy things because I partnered with my really good friend to pray for our spouse. Prayer really moves mountains, and the Lord does hear all of your prayers. Use discernment with outside counsel. You guys have the luxury of having mentor moms here. I was just telling someone, I wish that I appreciated the beauty of having someone who's gone before me to counsel me, to encourage me. So take advantage of it. You can ask them to pray for you in any of these situations. But what I encourage you, if you are getting outside counsel for your marriage, I encourage you to look at that person's marriage and their relationship with Christ. If that person hates their husband, they're probably not going to give you advice that's going to help your marriage. If that person doesn't love Christ, they're probably not going to give you encouragement and advice that honors the Lord and your spouse. So when you are seeking outside counsel, just be really aware of where it's coming from. Again, I got to go back to sex. I forgot the one more thing. Sorry, as we talked about prayer. You guys, I know this is so weird and sounds weird, but pray for a sex drive. That sounds weird, but the Lord hears our prayers. The Lord wants your marriage to be successful. The Lord wants you and your husband to be unified in this. Again, I really want you to picture it as a gift, as a physical representation of the unity of the husband and wife. And so I have many times, Lord, I'm not even interested. Lord, give me this drive. Please help me to see my husband how you see him. Please help me to have this desire to connect with him. He will honor those prayers and he will honor your obedience. Sorry, I had to end on sex because it's so important. But I hope that you guys can use some of these. I really prayed over this whole thing, and the Lord has shifted and changed everything that I've said like many times as I've looked through this. So I know that there's something for each of you, and I really pray, I'd actually like to pray, that the Lord would just impress these on your heart and really put you guys into action. I'm going to close in prayer. I know there's questions, but dear Lord, I just thank you for these ladies, Lord. We thank you for marriage. We thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. I pray that these ladies would have their eyes wide open to the beautiful men that you've given them, Lord, and the gifts that you've given their husbands and the gift of marriage, Lord. I pray that if there's an action item for each one of these women, that you would just put them into action. You would just encourage them, give them the strength to do what you're asking them to do, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this space, and we thank you for all these marriages. I pray that you would just grow them together, the husband and wife, and I pray that you would just keep them close, and we thank you so much for this time. Amen.